Welcome back, creeps.
Hey, bitch.
Today we're talking about toy shops.
Oh!
Wow. Dulce just decided today, let's see how hard we can make this footage to edit. Also, I switched over to a new editing, video editing thing, and we're doing this late, so apologies for everything.
It's because... Yes.
It's because I didn't want to pay $300 for Final Cut Pro. So I decided I would learn the other one.
I lost my train of thought in the middle of my sentence. I don't remember where I was going with that.
Right on. Okay, Toys R Us. What's your memories from Toys R Us? Toys R Us.
I remember loving having the chance to go there. Just being there.
Yeah.
I remember going down sections where all the Barbies were, and then I remember going down the sections where all the board games were. They had video game areas and Lego areas, and they had like a ball area and stuff like that. And I think they might have carried clothes, like just not a lot, but
yeah.
But that's what I remember from Toy Story. I remember they had some they had displays of toys outside of their boxes.
That you could play with and stuff?
No.
Oh.
But they were just so you can see like...
how they looked
like. Kind of
like
how they have at the Lego store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, I don't think we had Toys R Us.
Yeah.
But the British did, or in like the UK. So we had the ads on our TV.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember like fondly the theme song and stuff. But
I remember the giraffe. Was a
gigantic
mascot.
Fucking giraffe, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What Toys R Us was where a kid could be a kid, I think that was the motto.
Yeah, we had Toy Master and Smith's Toys. Smith's Toys is still the toy store at home. But
I think we also had like a knockoff shop called
Toys
Toy Master.
For us.
It was Toy Master Bader.
Ah, an even worse joke. Again, it's late, so apologies. And I just ate an entire burrito, a taco, and... I gave the other one to your mom. And chips and guac.
Did you eat all the chips and guac?
I ate most of them. No, I ate some of them. There wasn't that much in the bag. Chipotle's got good vegan options. Anyway, Toys R Us.
I can get more chips and guac tomorrow.
Okay. Once located at 130 East El Camino Real in Sunnyvale, California, this store was erected in 1970, and almost straight away, employees started to notice weird shit going on. Toys would get like just flying off shelves.
Nice.
Like middle of the day, and like people getting touched when there was nobody nearby. In particular, in the storeroom, they'd be in there and they'd just feel like,
boop,
like a little hand brushing their hair. And the faucets or taps in the ladies' bathroom would like turn on and off just on their own. So apparently the store had gone through 6 managers over like the course of 8 years or something. So I don't know if the ghost can entirely be blamed on this, but they did blame the ghost. And they decided it was time to get this situation under control.
Okay.
So they called in the big guns.
The news.
Psychic medium Sylvia Brown. I don't think I had heard of her either.
Oh, okay.
The name sounded familiar, but I don't know.
My face just froze.
But she turned this into like...
a thing.
A worldwide affair, yeah.
She's like, this is my big break.
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure she had like been on a lot of TV shows before. So like that's... otherwise, how would people have known her?
Yeah.
But she also lived nearby. And she brought such TV shows as Haunted Lives, also known as Real Ghosts.
Or Ghost Real.
Ghost Real. Which only ran for like 3 episodes. It was like a mini series. But it was narrated by Leonard Nimoy. Spock.
Who? Ah.
Yeah. I'm not a Star Trek fan. But I thought that was an interesting factoid.
Tis.
Anyway, she goes there and she had like a buttload of fucking seances. But the first time there, she immediately picks up on this spirit by the name of Johnny Johnson, or Yanni Janssen. So I'm going to be calling him Yanni. Hey, Yanni! So, Yanni's...
Oh, is that how he pronounced his name?
Well, according to Sylvia, Yanni was from Sweden. So it might have been Johan, it might have been Jan, it might have been Jan, and it might have been Johnny.
Okay.
We're going with Yanni, because it's dad, funny.
My dad has a real thick Spanish accent, and he calls the burgers from Jack in the Box Yumbo Yaks.
And it's hilarious. Anyway, so Yanni's story was pretty nuts. According to Sylvia Brown, Yanni was a traveling preacher man from Sweden, hence the Yanni. And he would sometimes work on the Murphy Ranch in exchange for bed and board. The land that Toys R Us was built on, eventually, like in 1970, was originally this big, gigantic farm or ranch in the 1880s. And even before, I think it was there since like the 1850s, owned by the Murphys.
Mm.
And how else do you win a young girl's heart in the 1880s? You send her a love letter. And he expresses himself, his utmost feelings for her in these letters. But Elizabeth was a nice person. And she didn't want to get Yanni in trouble with her dad or anything. So she kept the letters a secret. And she snuck out to Yanni one day while he was working on the ranch. And she told him she did not love him. In fact, she was already engaged to another.
Oof.
And in the TV show... she said, and I'm getting married in 6 days.
Oh.
So I don't know how she kept that a secret from him. But she wanted to let Yanni down gently and went out.
You snuck that in
there.
Yeah,
I forgot all about bastard. This. I wrote these this morning. But yeah, so she wanted to get Yanni down gently. She wanted to let Yanni down gently and went out to meet him while he worked and told him, Yanni, I'm sorry, but I just don't love you. And also in the TV show, which was hilarious, by the way, because he plays the simple caretaker, kind of reminded me of like the water boy or something.
Oh.
And he says, I know I'm just a caretaker. I don't have very much to offer, but what riches I do have are in my heart.
Oh, wow.
It was pathetic. I will be linking the videos down below and probably putting some bits like right here. Anyway, she's all like, damn, son, why won't you just listen to me? I don't want your riches. I want Donnie. He's got actual riches and a huge dick.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Probably is what she said.
Yeah.
For the 1880s.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like the guy's name wasn't Donnie. There might be some conjecture on my part here about the big dick and that. But he definitely was rich. Yeah. So, and his name also wasn't Donnie. I gave him that name. It was something else. I might have it further down. But I just thought it was funny to be like Yanni and Donnie.
Mm.
Anyway, Elizabeth ran off with her East Coast lawyer and left Yanni brokenhearted and angry.
Damn.
In the story, he grew more and more depressed and careless. And one day, while chopping wood, Yanni's axe slipped. Quote, gouging him deep in the leg.
Oh.
Yeah, that really fucking sounded gnarly. And he slowly bled to death on the spot. Like, literally just, oh, fuck. And that was that. But in the TV show, they made it seem like Elizabeth came out and told Yanni she didn't love him. And then Yanni just stood there hitting the logs with his axe for hours.
Mm-hmm.
Right, this axe for scene. Hours. Yeah, literally. This axe scene lasts an entire minute. I timed it in the shower yesterday when I was watching it.
So in the thing, it was like he was actively chopping into his leg.
No, he was chopping logs.
Oh.
But as well as the scene lasting for 12 hours, the actor who played Yanni looked like he had never seen an axe before. And
perfect.
Then he eventually slams the axe into his shin. Sylvia Brown asked her doctor friends about what it would be like dying this way. And they assured her it actually wouldn't have been that painful at all. Between adrenaline and blood loss, Yanni would have just like literally gone asleep.
Wow.
Like he might have passed out and hit the deck. And if he came to, he would have just been sleepy until he died.
That's interesting.
More or less, yeah. Probably if they had tried to save him, it would have been a lot worse, you know?
Mm, yeah.
Anyway, Sylvia, like I said, had a lot of seances there, and the media loved it. Like, they would show up any chance they could get. And when she initially made contact with Yanni, she said, quote, "As he walked down the hall toward me, he kept saying, 'Have mercy on me, Beth.'" During one particular seance, they had people taking photos, like paranormal photographers.
Mm-hmm.
One had a high-speed camera, whatever the fuck that is, and the other had an infrared.
It runs fast.
Yeah. I think it's actually just a regular film camera.
It's just like...
because they didn't need to leave the lens open. Yeah. But they caught an apparition.
Oh, cool.
On camera, yeah. Again, just like every piece of paranormal evidence, this thing is highly debated by everybody. But it was picked up on the infrared camera and not the high-speed camera. And also, nobody remembered a fucking random dude standing in that spot.
Okay. Oh, is it the one where they're all sitting down?
Yeah. Dude standing at the back is wasn't there.
Wow.
Yeah. But
that's
like,
a really good picture.
It is. But like that, they're like, you can tell by the clothes that he's wearing that he's not from this era, but it's just a black silhouette. You know what I mean?
Honestly, it looked like he would be.
Well, so the Game Grumps actually covered this. I don't know if any of you guys are fans of Game Grumps.
Love the Game Grumps.
And they pointed out in it that it kind of looks like he's actually wearing bell bottoms.
Yeah, it does. That's what I'm saying. It looks like he's in the era.
Yeah. So I don't know. I choose to believe that it's a ghost, but who knows? According to SF Gate, this story that Sylvia Brown picked up on doesn't really match up to any facts.
Okay.
So Elizabeth Murphy, Yanni's love.
Uh-huh.
She did exist, and she lived there where mm-hmm. the Toys R Us was eventually built, but she actually died at the age of 30 in 1875, 6 or 7 years before Yanni's story, according to Sylvia. And she also didn't run away with the lawyer. She married William Taff. It's TAAFFE.
Okay.
Who was the son of a wealthy dry goods merchant from San Francisco in 1863. This was a really big deal at the time because the wealthy dry goods merchant from San Francisco, who was William Taff's father,
mm-hmm.
was like one of the major figures in California at that time. And so was... I think his name was Michael Murphy. I could be wrong, but old man Murphy anyway. They were the two most prominent families in California. And the Murphy's story itself is actually quite impressive. I really like the old-timey America being born stories, hearing all these people like eating each other in the mountains and stuff.
Yeah.
And the Murphys were actually some of the first people to pass down that trail, which would eventually become the Donner Pass. Obviously, they timed it properly and they survived.
And
didn't
have
to eat their young. Yeah. Or their shoes. That was the worst part of that for me. They
the
boiled their leather.
Yeah.
To the point where it would be soft enough to try and eat.
Yeah.
I would rather eat human.
Like jerky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they even built the first wooden framed house in California, I think.
Hmm.
Or in North California or some bullshit like that. I can't remember exactly. Either way, they're like, we're here. This is our land now. And they grew a big, huge, giant orchard.
Okay.
And eventually it just got fucking ridiculously out of hand. They got like 3,000 acres or something. And another record that they had for the time was in 1881, when Yanni was supposed to be cutting his fucking leg off down the back stables, they actually held the largest party California had ever seen. They had 6,000 people show up for their 50th wedding anniversary.
Whoa.
Must have been like a fucking...
Like a block party.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But it was like the who's who of fucking everyone, you know? Very white, I would imagine.
Sounds about white.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
But like any old-timey family, they did have their fair share of accidents and misfortunes. One that I thought was particularly funny was just a few weeks after she was born, Elizabeth fell into the Yuba River. The way that's written everywhere, it's like they were blaming the baby. It's like the Murphys were like, oh, she was off shaving it down at the river and she fell in. But luckily enough, her dad managed to fish her out and thought it must have been
that
pretty funny.
That sounds funny.
Yeah, well, that's what the how it was written as well.
Yeah.
So it made out that, like, the parents were not in the wrong at all. Like, they didn't do anything wrong by letting her three-week-old baby roll down into the river or something.
Like, but, oh, she'll roll back.
Yeah, yeah, she'll be fine.
She's like a boomerang.
Yeah. You know how these babies are? Like rubber. But yeah, anyway, after getting her out of the river, they actually gave her the middle name Yuba after the river.
Wow. That's all kind of messed up.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that after they didn't fish, after they fished her out, they didn't just like mount her on a wall.
I know, right?
Like a prize winning trout.
The problem was they didn't have batteries back then, so they couldn't make it sing like Billy Bass.
That was a kick ass fish.
And then the Murphy's oldest son died of
typhoid
consumption. Close. In 1851, which obviously wasn't as funny, but pretty common. And like we mentioned, Elizabeth herself died at 30. I don't know how, but in 1975. Her husband had already died in 1875.
You said it's pronounced dysentery? Oh, never mind.
What?
Sorry, I just had a brain fart and you heard it. All right, go ahead.
Consumption. Oh. It's pronounced consumption.
When you said consumption,
tuberculosis, like,
okay.
Moving on, her husband had already died in 1869. Was it William Taft? And then Elizabeth and her husband's kid Martin, he grew up and got married, but his brother-in-law died on the property in a very funny way. Now obviously it wasn't funny at the time.
Yeah.
But I think enough time has passed where we can laugh at this one. Well, maybe not. In 1894, as he was working on a pump in the farm well, it turns out the gas tank that was right next to him had a leak. And so I guess gas is heavier than air, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was just leaking into the well.
Mm-hmm.
And he suffocated and died. But when he didn't show up for dinner...
Mm-hmm.
They went looking for him. They saw him dead at the bottom of the well. And so Martin went to retrieve him, making sure to bring a candle because it was pretty dark down there. I know I shouldn't laugh, but apparently the explosion blew Martin back out of the well.
Oh my God.
Now Martin survived, but he was burned pretty bad.
I would imagine.
Back then, I can't even imagine. So, but very unfortunate. So there's definitely enough weird shit has happened there to provide a decent enough ghost story.
Yeah. I even forgot we were talking about Toys R Us.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And so whether or not Yanni was real or just a fiction of Sylvia Brown's imagination, I don't know. But anyway, there's been enough fucking calamity on this ranch or on this land. At the end of it all, whatever the actual story is, the real staff who worked there really did experience like quite a lot of activity. And would apparently like have to clean up the stuffed animals and other toys that the ghost had played with the previous night. Like that was a part of their morning routine.
Wow.
Open up, put everything back on the shelves where someone had just come along and gone like...
I wonder how bad it was. Like the mess.
I don't know. Like because the stacking, to me, as an expert in this field, it was like really stereotypical poltergeist stacking. Like stuff that you wouldn't... That would be particularly hard to balance on each other kind of thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
It wouldn't just be like strewn about the floor.
Well, no. Sometimes, yes. But other times it would be like neatly stacked.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And the Barbie section of the storeroom was apparently really cold and just creepy feeling all of the time. So that's where they figured it was like emanating from.
Mm-hmm.
And more recently, I actually meant to call these guys today, but I got fucking distracted. The Petco in the same shopping center has been experiencing some odd things too.
No shit.
Yeah. And like this whole area on which the Murphy Ranch used to stand a lot of the houses nearby have reported like odd shit happening as well. One lady, Put O'Brien.
That's her fucking name?
That's her fucking name. In one of the TV shows, they didn't spell it properly, so it was just Put O'Brien. Like, her real name is like, I don't know, Crystal or Michelle or something. Like, Put O'Brien.
Wow.
Anyway, she had worked there for like more than 18 years back in 1993.
And they still fucked up her name.
But she said, quote, "I don't believe in ghosts, but you feel a breeze behind you. Someone calls your name and there's nobody there." Funny things.
Putt-putt. Yeah. Oh, what do you know, putt-putt?
That's just a new mini golf machine.
What do you know, putt-putt? There are ghosts.
Settle down, putt-putt. Someone calls your name and there's nobody there. And funny things happen here that you can't explain. So I don't know what she does believe in, but she went on to say that whoever it was that was doing all this stuff was like Casper. There was no harm and he just fucked with everybody. Like, not just like one or two people or like sensitive people or anything. Like, anybody who came into that store was at risk of being like messed with by Yanni. I'm still going to call him Yanni. But yeah, like, she had experienced shit flying off the shelves herself, but like not just like dropping, like she said, they would come off in an arch and like hit the floor really purposefully. Like, other shit that was like super common, just balls rolling down empty aisles, which is really creepy. Baby swings moving on their own. Sweet flowery smells on aisle 15C.
What was 15C?
I don't know. I do know it was Mickey Mouse on one side and something else on the other, I can't remember. But I remember reading that and going, oh, we don't need to know all that. But the Mickey Mouse thing, I do remember. And on one occasion, men were waxing the floor and the teddy bear kept appearing in each aisle. Like, they would get to the next aisle to like wax their shit and the same teddy bear would be on that aisle, even though they had moved it.
Nice.
So I thought that was a creepy move. And just in general, with maintenance people or people coming in to just do like odd jobs like fixing lights or something, the general consensus was they went in, they would do one job and then they never came back. Redditor user King Coover said, "My dad worked at the haunted Toys R Us in Sunnyvale, California. He worked as a night watchman back in the day to pay for school. Cool gig, got to sit around and study while being paid for doing next to nothing. He learned to juggle and play the guitar too. Weird stuff happened there all the time. Objects would fall off shelves as you walked past them. Lights flickered on and off from time to time. Noises from the other side of the hall. Stuff like that." So there he was in this big, mostly dark store, all by himself, thinking about the ghost. And he said aloud, "If there's a ghost here, then that balloon, that red one in the middle of the roof, will pop." Right as he finished the sentence, the balloon burst. Suffice to say, he turned on all the lights in the building and got as close to a door as he possibly could for the rest of his shift. But he didn't leave, though.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
Came back the next day.
Yeah. And this next one is, I'm almost sure it's from this Toys R Us, but it's certainly from a Toys R Us. And it's from Reddit user, I'm a Toys R Us kid.
Nice.
So it really could be any Toys R Us.
And growing. Yeah. I think that was the motto. I can't remember.
Okay.
Oh, no, that was Flintstones kid. You're a Flintstones kid.
Oh, from those horrible little chalky vitamins.
I fucking love those.
They were gross.
Do they still sell them? Because I still want to implement them in my daily routine. Because I need a multivitamin.
I don't think they're going to cut it for you. Anyway, I'm a Toys R Us kid says, "The few times I've done overnights have been terrifying. Laughing and crying babies, cats meowing, and even a few times tricycles have just shown up in weird places." And that's it. That's the story of Sunnyvale Toys R Us. But one of the websites that I was on was saying that his he lived there like briefly, or worked there, sorry, briefly, like over the holidays for fucking when he was back home from college or some bullshit. And he said the staff were horrible and that's why he left.
Mm.
But his girlfriend at the time lived in the same, I guess, neighborhood or little area. And one story that was really fucking weird, but I felt like it really fit in with the whole orchard thing. Your one's mom and dad must have been really rich and they had lovely gardens, but they had gone away for a weekend and they left her like strict instructions to, like, you know, water the roses at this time and blah, blah, blah. This has to be done first thing in the morning. And the two of them were lying in bed and like their bedroom is here and the hose is the other side of the window. They're lying in bed, and just as she goes to get up, going like, oh, I gotta go water these fucking flowers, they just hear somebody turning on the tap. And then they hear the hose, like, moving, unraveling. And then they hear somebody watering all of the fucking plants.
Hmm.
All of them. Her job was done. They got up, like, they were trying to get dressed quickly and all and go out. And by the time they got out there, the hose was, like, neatly back in its place. But every single flower bed had been watered.
That's so strange.
Yeah. So he chose to blame Yanni for that, seeing as he was an old caretaker, supposedly. Yeah. But yeah, so that's Sunnyvale Toys R Us.
Hmm.
Seems fucking cool. I will, if I remember tomorrow, I will call the Petco. Usually the handful of times I've made these kind of phone calls before, they've just been like, okay, weirdo. And I've never gotten anything from it. But I'll try. My sources this week were thinkdudethink.com. sfgate.com, Game Grumps, Real Ghosts, and That's Incredible. That's the two TV shows that are on YouTube. I will post the link in the description because they're funny. And yeah, I think
all that's right. It. Good job, Adam. All right. Very good.
Thanks, guys. You're already on our Patreon, so we don't need to plug anything else. Just don't forget to reach out to us if you have any stories that you want us to cover. And yeah, that's it. Hope you're all having a great weekend. And see you later. Bye.